Morning, everybody.
If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to Psalm 34. Begin reading this morning with just one verse to begin with. It's good to hear the pages rustling. You don't hear that on a cell phone. Psalm 34 and verse number 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy precious, loving, faithful and true word of God. Lord, we pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts by thy Holy Spirit so that you alone would be glorified as we exalt you, our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a song that David sings, a song of victory, a song of praise. If I were to say simply one word, trouble, I wouldn't have to define it. Every one of us would say, I know what that word means, trouble. If I were to say the word fear, we would all say, oh, I know that word so well. Troubles are the circumstances that bother us in life. But many times it's the fears that bother us even more. Fears are worse because they're within our mind and affect our heart and our soul. You can shut troubles outside of your door. You can lock the door in your house and leave the troubles outside. But not so with fears. You can't shut them out. They follow us wherever we go. They're with us throughout the day and the night. They steal sleep from us. They steal peace from us. They steal joy from us. And no one's exempt. Not one person is exempt from fear or being afraid. If you have fears, you're not unique. You're not strange when you read through the Bible. Many men that we consider champions of the faith, great men of the faith, were sore afraid, feared greatly. David, this one that would write this psalm right here and say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He speaks of fears. He speaks of troubles. And in the circumstances of which this psalm is founded upon, the Bible says he was sore afraid. David, the one who fought Goliath, the one who slew thousands, and the Bible says he was greatly afraid. Elijah, one of the greatest men of faith, who could stand on Mount Carmel, stand up against 400 prophets of Baal, and declare that God was greater. In just the next chapter of his life, it says he was so afraid that he went down into the wilderness and just got down under a juniper tree and requested to the Lord that he would die. He said, it's enough. And so fear is a reality. Troubles are a reality. But in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10, David's singing a song. David is singing a song, and it's after God has delivered him from his troubles. And after God has delivered him from his fears, he sings this song. It's a song of encouragement. As David has been brought through by the Lord. He's in a cave. And a group of men and women, group of people, come to follow him. And they say that it's at this time and to this group that David would sing this song to encourage them. to encourage their hearts, to encourage those that were with him that had fears of as well. And it's a song about the goodness of God to you and me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, God knows our every fear. And God wants our hearts to be comforted. And when we look at Psalm 34, as we're going to look this morning, there's three sections of it. Three sections of this psalm. And we're going to look at these three sections. The first section is in the first three verses. That's David's choice. David makes a choice. And then in the next section, the second section, we see David's cry. Verses 4 down to verse number 7. And then the third section is David's call to you and me. Call to you and I that we would be able to experience the same things that David experienced through the Lord. Actually, it's God's call of invitation to you and me. So that we would be able to sing praises unto God. So that we would be able to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But first, verses 1 through 3. And listen to what it says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You see this morning as we begin in Psalm 34, you see the first thing, the first two words there. David says, I will. That's a choice. David makes a choice. A choice that changed the direction and the path of his life for that day, for that moment. You know, we make choices all the time. Choices determine the path that we take. And making this choice that David made, making this choice will change the course of your day. It'll change everything. It will point you in the right direction. It'll keep your heart right throughout all the day and throughout all the circumstances. So what's the choice that David makes? What's the choice that we ought to make? Well, in verse number 1, David simply says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. When we learn to bless the Lord, really bless the Lord, we'll be able to bless him in the good times. We'll be able to bless him through the times of trouble. We'll be able to bless him for the good times and for the times of trouble. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And as I've meditated and really thought upon this psalm here, I want you to first notice something. David said, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. David, in a few moments, in verse number 4 down through verse number 7, he will speak of what the Lord did for him. But when David says in verse number 1, I will bless the Lord, he says, before I get to blessing the Lord because of what he has done. And so many times, that's all we bless the Lord for. But he says, no, I will simply bless the Lord. He said, I will sing praises. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. And if we are going to learn to bless the Lord, we have to start with not thinking about all that God has done, but simply and first, who God is. He says, I will bless the Lord. And when you stop and you start to meditate on who the Lord is, that's where the blessing begins. The Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord, He is God. Psalm 90 and verse 2, here's a reason to bless the Lord. Because from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. Stop and consider, if the Lord was not everlasting, it might be that in your day, in your time, He didn't exist. Think about that. If He's not everlasting, if it's not everlasting, it's temporary. But He's everlasting. That means He's the Lord as much today as He was yesterday. He'll be as much the Lord tomorrow as He was today. He is the everlasting God. Psalm 113 and verse number 5, if you want to turn there for a moment. Psalm 113 and verse number 5. Who is like unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high? Just stop and think. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Over and over again, prophet Isaiah says, you can't compare God to anybody else. Who is like unto our Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Oh, you could read other verses, Psalm 71 and Psalm 89. But you know, back in 1 Kings chapter 18, as they were building that temple, here's another thing that they said. They basically said, how is this temple going to contain our God? The heavens can't contain God. The heavens show the glory of God and declares His glory and His wonderful works, but the Bible says the heavens can't contain God. That's our God, folks. David said, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. But you know, then you come back to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. As David said, I will bless the Lord, it becomes even greater when you first consider the greatness of the Lord. And then you consider us. And in Psalm 8, verse 4, as great as the Lord is, then what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? As great as God is, who am I that the Lord should even stop and consider me? And yet we know He does. But David says, the Lord, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Psalm 40, if you want to turn there just for a moment, Psalm 40, just to start with one phrase. Phrase that has just stuck with me so much since Pastor Donnie preached a message out of Song of Solomon. And I would encourage you, listen, if you have not heard the message that he preached on the Song of Solomon chapter 2, you need to do everything within your power to find that on YouTube and listen to it. I sat there at home. I was not able to be here physically. And I sat there at home on the couch in tears of joy listening to three words. He brought me. He brought me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Yet David said in Psalm 40, in verse number 2, he brought me up. He brought me up. He brought me up. He brought me, a sinful soul. He brought me up. He brought me by His precious blood. He brought me to his banqueting house. He brought me, Ephesians says, to sit in heavenly places with him. He fed me with the finest of wheat because he's the bread of life to me. He gave me water to drink so that I would never thirst. He set his banner over me, and that banner is love. He's still bringing me up. He's still bringing me every day. He walks with me. He never leaves me. He takes care of me. He talks with me. He listens to me. He knows me. He lives in me. He's faithful to me. He goes before me. He's preparing a place in heaven for me. He intercedes for me. He's waiting for me. He's coming for me. He's going to bring me home. He's going to bring me home to his home, my home. He will, because he is Lord. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Why? Because he's my Lord. And David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many people in the Bible would say, he brought me up? Just stop and think about it. Paul would say it. Paul would say, he's the one on that road to Damascus. He brought me up. He loved me. He gave himself for me. I trust you can say that today. My prayer, my hope is that each and every person can say, I know he brought me up. Because he does love you. And he did give himself for you. And Jesus still says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. David said, I'll bless the Lord. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But then he says this, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, that word boast is a word that means that someone just can't stop talking. You know, someone else might look at him and say, you're a fool. You can't close your mouth. David said, that's okay, you can call me a fool. He said, I'm just going to talk about my Jesus all the time long. I'm just going to talk about the Lord. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to close my lips. He has every reason for me to just open my mouth and sing and praise him and talk about him. You want to call me a fool? Call me a fool all day long. But I'm going to bless my Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And look what it says. Here's a promise. Here's a promise. Look what it says. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Listen, if we would just open our lips and speak Jesus and let our heart just flow with words of praise to him, God says something. He says, The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In Psalm 40, David says, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. And then he says this, many shall see and fear and trust in the Lord. And David said, I'm going to boast of the Lord. I'm just going to talk about the Lord. I'm just going to tell everybody about, I'm not going to shut up. And it says the humble, not the proud. Listen, the proud won't listen. But the humble will. The person that's humble. And you know what the Bible says about the humble? Turn to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. The humble will hear. They'll hear your words. They'll hear my words of Jesus and my Savior, my Lord. The goodness of God to me. And I, Isaiah chapter 57. In verse number 15. Look what it says in verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says, I hear the heart of the humble. I will revive them. In verse Psalm 34, in verse number 18, it says something else. Psalm 34, in verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of be of a contrite spirit. David says, I'm just gonna talk about the Lord, I'm gonna sing to the Lord. And that person that's humble, they'll be glad. You know why they'll be glad? Two reasons why they'll be glad. First, because they'll hear of Jesus Christ. By God's grace, they'll turn to him and be saved. Boy, that puts gladness in your heart, doesn't it? All right, that puts the joy in your heart, doesn't it? Nothing this world can give can compare with the joy of the Lord, the joy of his salvation. And so for the one, the humble, that will hear of Jesus and turn to Christ and be saved, oh, they'll be glad. But secondly, those that already know Christ will be glad. Because you know what? When we speak much of Jesus one to another, it encourages one another, doesn't it? Right? If we just simply go and talk, mention Jesus to someone else, and mention how good he is, mention how wonderful he is, mention all that he is to you, it'll encourage another believer. And it might be that that believer, that child of God at that moment, needs their heart to be lifted up, so that they look to the Lord Jesus Christ once again. And so David says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. But then look at verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. Because here in David's choice, he says this. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Stop and think about it for a minute. How good it is for one person to bless the Lord. But David says, oh, let's not stop there. He says, magnify the Lord with me. With me. Just stop and think about verse number 3, and not only all that it means, but all that it could do. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. One person exalting the name of the Lord is a good thing. But what if two or three gathered together and lift up their voices together and exalt in the name of the Lord and bless the name of the Lord? Oh, wouldn't the sound swell a little bit? But David said, oh, let us magnify the Lord together. Think of when a great choir gets together and sing the same song of praise to God. For one person to sing because he lives. But then two or three gather and say because he lives. And then a multitude of believers lift up their voices together and say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. how much more, how much better it is, all praising and blessing the Lord. How it must please God so much when His children gather together and lift up their voices together to praise the Lord. Oh, what a day it would be if the church was just filled with one thing. One thing. Not a conversation about anything else going on, but simply in one unity. If one group of people of this size just stopped and with one heart sang, "How great Thou art." How the heart of God must be blessed when that takes place. And so first, in verses 1 through 3, we see David's choice. A choice that David made. A choice that really we ought to make. A choice that will, hey, listen, it'll lead you in the right path. It'll point you in the right direction. It'll keep your heart. But it's a choice. We can choose to murmur. We can choose to complain. We can choose to question. We can choose to do everything else. David says, no. He says, my choice? I'm going to bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. And he says it all times. All times. And he's learned that. And it's what we must learn. Because it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you say the Lord is good? We say it. We say it. God is good all the time, and all the time is good. But have you made the choice to bless the Lord at all times? Now we come to verse 4, down through verse number 7. And here we see David's cry. And this is where David was and where God brought him from, so that David would be able to say and make that choice, I'll bless the Lord at all times. David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Please allow me to ask a question of you this morning. And don't raise your hand. It's not one to raise your hand and answer vocally. Do you really believe? It's an important question. Do you really believe in a personal and practical way regarding your life and the circumstances of your life that as for God, His way is perfect? Every circumstance, every path, every day. Your life. What you're going through right now. You really believe? I mean, I don't mean up here. I don't mean mentally. I mean here. As for God, His way is perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. The last 9 months for me has been a difficult time. But I can say to you this morning, as for God, His way is perfect. It's been a hard time. I faced fears. I faced troubles. But I will say this from the depths of my heart. As for God, His way is absolutely perfect. And I will bless the Lord at all times. David, when you look at verse 4 down through verse number 7, it's interesting. David doesn't go into one detail about the troubles. He doesn't go into one detail about the fears. Because David says, I'm not here to accentuate or give attention to my fears or my troubles. I'm here to accentuate and give praise to my God. The troubles are real. The fears are real. But sometimes we give too much attention to that part of life instead of giving attention to the person of life, Jesus Christ. But David says, I'm gonna bless the Lord. And I'm going to tell you about the Lord. I'm going to tell you about His goodness. I'm going to tell you about what He did for me. And he starts in verse number 4. And once again, there's a blessed thought here, folks, that we can so quickly pass by. But he says, I sought the Lord. Just stop right there for a minute. You know, the first blessed truth of verse number 4 is, it goes back to, I will bless the Lord. The first blessed truth here is that there's a Lord to seek. What if in all your troubles and all your fears, there was no one to seek? What if there was nowhere to turn? What if there was no one of whom we could cry unto? What if the only hope we had was in one another and there was nothing beyond one another? What a dark place it would be. A place without hope. And yet, there is the Lord. And he says, I sought the Lord. Here's another thought. Before I ever sought the Lord sought me. Before I ever knew the Lord knew me. The Lord was seeking me way before I ever first thought of Him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave His life on the cross to save my soul. But I sought the Lord. And look what David says. I sought the Lord. And here's another blessing. There's so much in this psalm. So much in this song. I sought the Lord and He what? He heard me. He wasn't deaf. He didn't ignore my call. He didn't put it on Google screen, the call, and see if it's worth taking time. I sought the Lord and He heard me. And that word here right there means not just to listen, but to listen and to respond and to answer. And David said, I sought the Lord and He heard me. Right there, when you just stop, folks, and you meditate, you just take that one thing, that one truth. I sought the Lord. Troubles and fears gripped my soul, troubled my life, and I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. He heard me. How many times throughout the Bible do we read the examples of people that cried unto the Lord? And the testimony that God heard them. But you know, turn to John chapter 11, because I'm reminded as soon as I read that, I sought the Lord and He heard me. You know who said that the most wonderfully? Was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Think about this. This is Jesus Christ said the same thing. As He stood at the tomb of Lazarus, as Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and Jesus comes to the tomb, in John chapter 11, verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, look at what he says, folks. Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. Now you would just assume in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that, well, that's a given. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't take it for granted, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't make lightly of the truth that His Father heard Him. He says, I thank Thee that Thou heardest. And then He says this, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And the Lord says, I'm saying it. I know it. I thank you, Father. You heard me. I know you hear me all the time. But I am saying it just like David said. His praise shall continually be on my lips. Jesus said, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it so others will hear it. So they will taste and see that the Lord is good. So that you and I will know that when troubles face us and fears face us, that when we cry, we can immediately know that the Lord hears. You can be in a room with soundproof all around, windows closed, shut up tighter than a drum, and your heart cries, and the God of heaven hears. And if I know he hears, there's nothing to fear. If I know he hears, and I do, because Jesus said, I know you hear me all the time. Psalm 34, David says, I sought the Lord. He heard me. And as a result, look what it says. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And what did he do? He didn't leave me there on my own. He didn't neglect me. He delivered me. He delivered me. He delivered me. Hey, say it with me. He delivered me. From what? From all my fears. David goes on in verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. He says, he delivered me from all my fears. He saved me out of all my troubles. He set me free. He set me free from the fears that were binding me tight. When fear grips your heart, your mind, and your soul, folks, boy, it just pulls tighter and tighter and squeezes the breath and the life right out of you. But when Jesus Christ stands up and says, peace, be still, the raging storms of your soul are calmed by his peace. David says, he delivered me from all my fears, all my fears. When fears come, folks, they don't come in one, do they? They don't come just one. Man, they come charging in a mass, don't they? In a group. Here's one here, what this, what that. David said, he delivered me from them all. He says, you know what? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Verse number 5, though, is interesting. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. Here David testifies. It's not his testimony, but he says, you know, as the Lord has delivered me from all my fears, from all my troubles, he's done it for so many others. Here he's referring to, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. David said, I'm not the only one. He says, look before me. How many people before me, David says, sought the Lord and he delivered them? How many people looked to the Lord and their faces were just brightened with a countenance because of his grace and his mercy and his love and his goodness? And how many after David? How many down through the ages of time? How many even today we could stand and say, you know what? There's a smile on my face because I tasted and saw that the Lord was good. And he delivered me from all my fears and delivered me from all my troubles. David said they looked at him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. What an encouragement it is to know that not only are we not alone in our troubles, we're also not alone in our triumphs. That God is good not only all the time, but God is good to each and every one of us. Amen? But then you go down in verse number 6, and here's his cry. You know, David at other times said, I cried, but here he's a little bit more specific in how important this is. He says, this poor man cried. This poor man cried. You know, it's rarely when we come to this place where, like Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. So when we come to this place that we really seek the Lord and know his deliverance. This poor man cried. David said, I was poor. In other words, David said, I had nothing in and of myself that could deliver me. He says, there was nothing in and of myself that could deliver me from my troubles or my fears. But God is rich. We're poor, but God is rich. And God is rich in his mercy toward us. And God is almighty in his power toward us. And Jeremiah 33:3, Jesus says, the Lord says, call unto me, I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And David did. And God did. David sought, God answered. And David says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. My testimony is this right now. All my life, there's one thing that I have that I took for granted. And that was lungs that were strong and powerful. That could play that trumpet. That could speak without amplification. Never did I ever have a concern for my lungs. Not in my life. Plenty of breath, plenty of strength. Up until just a little while ago. And you know what? Here's what I say this morning. It's the Lord's doing. And it's good. And it's marvelous. Because you see, at the end of July last year, about that time, I had strong lungs, but that was all I had. Every aspect of my life, I was totally spent. Oh, I kept going. But physically, I was worn out. Mentally, I was worn out. Emotionally, I was worn out. Spiritually, I was worn out. I was just totally wasted, folks. And it was in that point of my life that I cried unto the Lord. I sought the Lord. And I'll tell you this, he heard me. He heard me. And he answered and he delivered. But as I said earlier, do you really believe that every way of God is perfect, that it's a perfect path? Because he delivered me. Right now, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, never been in a better place. Never been in a better place. And I thank God. But the path that God had to take to bring me from there to here, it's not my way. It's not my path. Would not be anything I would design or direct or think or consider. Because you see, God had to take your pastor to a place where I would wake up in the morning and thank God for the very breath to breathe. Where I would simply say, Lord, thank you for one thing. Thank you for that breath that you just gave me. And he brought me to that place so that I would realize I have nothing but him and yet it's the best place to be. Like Paul said, I'll glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And right now, I'm not asking for deliverance, folks. I'm not asking for a miracle. I'm not asking for healing in my lungs. I'm not. I'm thanking God for what He has done. I'm thanking God that every moment I have to rely upon Him to breathe. That I have to rely on Him to speak. I don't take it for granted this morning to be able to stand up here and speak words and bring forth the Word of God. Anybody that's talked to me in the past week knows how every conversation just goes like this. But you see, God's good, folks. And right now, I tell you what, I wouldn't trade anything for what the Lord has done in my life. Because when you come to the place where your life is so refreshed with the Lord, it just, you don't want to move from it. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go sideways. I just want to go upwards. And David said, that's it. He says, my choice, I'm going to bless the Lord. He says, you know why? Because He heard my cry. He delivered me. He delivered me. He delivered me. If David were to take the time, he'd say, you know, it's not the path that I chose. Not what I would think. Not what I would want. But as for God, His way is perfect. And then David comes down in verse number 8, or verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and deliver them. And now we see David's call. It's really a call, an invitation, because here David has this group of people around him. And he says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And here's why. Because I cried unto the Lord, I sought the Lord, He delivered me. And now David's call, it's his invitation. In the song he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And here's the invitation. Hey, listen, this isn't David's invitation. This is the invitation from the Spirit of the living God that indwells you and me. God gave David these words to speak to you and me. God is giving this call, this invitation to you and me. God is saying, oh, listen, taste and see how good I am. Taste and see that I'm good. You know, the Lord's inviting you to see how good He is. And Exodus 34 and verse 6, when Moses goes up on the mountain and he asks the Lord, he asks the Lord if he could see Him. And it says in verse 6, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And look at verse number 8 down through verse number 10. Look at the assurances that God gives of His goodness. Look at when you taste and see that the Lord is good. Here's assurance number 1. Blessed. The man that trusts in the Lord is a man that is blessed. Not blessed worldly. Not blessed from this world. Blessed by God. Blessed by God. It's not even worth our time or our breath to even compare it with anything in this world. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. How could you not want to be blessed of God? How could you want anything else but to be blessed of God? Blessed is the man that trusted the Lord. And then it goes on. The second assurance. Look at this. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Look at verse number 9. Oh, friend, listen. There is no want to them that fear him. There is no want. How many wants do you have in your life right now? The Lord says, you taste and see how good I am. You put your trust in me. You seek me, and you'll find this. You won't want for a thing. What a life. What a blessing. What a grace. What a goodness. There is no want to them that fear him. The young lions lack. They suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord, shall want no good thing. That's where the Lord wants you to be this morning. That's where God wants us to be this morning. This is how refreshing the Lord can be to you and me. That we can say, I want for nothing. I lack for nothing. Because as Pastor Donnie preached the other night, I forgot which book it was. Boy, I tell you what, been a good series. He says, when I know that the Lord is my portion, when I know that, where was that from? Whoops, put him on the spot, didn't I? Jeremiah. When I know that the Lord is my portion, there's nothing else to want. Because I don't need anything else. I'm complete in him. My life is hid with Christ in God. And David says, there's no want to them. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So David says, you know what? He says, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually upon my lips. He says, why? Because when I cried unto the Lord, he delivered me. He heard me. I sought the Lord, he heard me. He delivered me out of all my troubles, out of all my fears, he delivered me. And David says, I'm calling you, I'm inviting you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, Psalm 135 and verse 3 says this. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name. David doesn't focus on his troubles, folks. David doesn't focus on his fears. David sings. He sings of the triumph of the goodness of God in his life. And he says, won't you taste him? Won't you see that the Lord is good? Don't focus on your troubles. Seek the Lord so that you'll focus on his triumph and know that he's good all the time, and all the time God is good. David says, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, there's a simple chorus. Simple chorus that says, the Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his goodness. Tell of his love. Tell how he's coming from heaven above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. But my question this morning for you is this. Have you tasted? Have you seen that the Lord is good? Maybe this morning you know the Lord is good. But troubles have overwhelmed you. Fears have consumed you. Why not just make a choice and say, you know what? I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord. Because I know He's good. I know He's faithful. I know He's true. I know He's Lord. And I know He's my Lord. In a moment, I'm going to ask Pastor Donnie to come, and we're going to sing "It Is Well." It is well with my soul. Oh, you've heard the story of the song, and we don't need to go into the details of the song. All we need to do is be able to sing, "It is well with my soul," because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Let's pray.